closing kill. I just have one house. I don't have the seconds.
Illumine our hearts, O Master who lovest mankind, with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of the gospel teachings. Implant also within us the fear of thy blessed commandments, so that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and to thee we send up glory, together with an unoriginate Father and the most holy good and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, unto the ages of ages. Amen. Wisdom, attend, let us hear the holy gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
The reading from the holy gospel according to Saint
attend.
Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So this morning we are with the Savior way up north in the Syro-Phoenician coastal towns of Tyre and Sidon. In the Bible, geography spells theology. And so it is with Tyre and Sidon. Directed by the same Lord who is in Tyre this morning, in the flesh, the prophet Ezekiel, several centuries earlier, raises a lament against the king of Tyre and the city of Sidon. You'll find it in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. Through Ezekiel, the Lord portrays Tyre and Sidon as the Garden of Eden, and the king of Tyre as Adam, who was in the Garden of Eden. Verse 13. But the Lord says to the king of Tyre, verse 17, Your heart was puffed up because of your beauty. Therefore I will cast you to the ground. Here may be the nub of the spiritual lessons our Holy Mother, the Church, is setting before us in these pre-Lenten Sundays, as we draw near the fearsome and terrible mystery of the Lord's tomb and the beginning of Great Lent. Our gospel this morning, then, in the underlying meaning of Tyre and Sidon, revealed through the prophet Ezekiel, brings us into the mystery of Eden. And following the Holy Fathers, this is the mystery of our own secret heart, now despoiled by the sin of Adam. So let's take a quick look back to Adam and Eve's expulsion from the garden that we'll be celebrating in a few weeks as we prepare to begin Great Lent. This takes us back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. A strict reading shows that Adam and Eve are not expelled because they ate the forbidden fruit, but because, as it says, they have become as though they were one of us. In essence, this means the same thing as Ezekiel's lament against the king of Tyre. Your heart was puffed up because of your beauty. Adam and Eve comported themselves as though they were gods alongside God. That is, they were expelled because of self-righteousness. We are not called to become as though we were gods alongside God, but to become one with God in love, to become like God in union with God. Self-righteousness makes this utterly impossible. So it says in our gospel this morning, a woman of Cana, a Canaanite woman. What, we're not given to know her name? But we are. Her name is given to us in Ezekiel's prophetic imagery of Tyre and Sidon. On the level of this gospel's theological meaning, she is the woman that Adam knew at once as bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. So we may call her Eve. She is an image of all mankind. Or as we are given to understand from the canon of St. Andrew that we'll be saying the first week of Great Lent, she is my soul. Eve was the mother of all living. The soul is life. But the woman from Cana has become the mother of a daughter possessed by a demon. Our soul, our life, has become enslaved to the one who holds us in the power of death. She has come down, it says, from the hills. These hills would be opposite Tyre and Sidon. Her coming down from the hills, opposite Tyre and Sidon, on the level of biblical theology, shows Eve coming down from where she and Adam had settled after their expulsion, which according to the Septuagint, Genesis chapter 3, verse 25, was opposite the Garden of Eden. And who is she coming to find? She's looking for the Lord Jesus. She's looking for the new Adam, the image of God in whom she was made. And where does she find him? Following the theological imagery of Tyre and Sidon, given by our Lord himself in the prophet Ezekiel, she finds him at the entrance of Eden. But Jesus, the new Adam, is also the tree of life. Did you hear it in the, the Beatitude verses, or one of the verses that we were singing in the antiphons this morning? Jesus is the new Adam. He is also the tree of life who was in the garden. Behold how he is no longer guarded by the flaming sword. He's accessible. We can draw near the tree of life in Eden, in our soul. So with the prophet Ezekiel as our guide, we have descended now beneath the veil and into the theology of the scene before us. If you will, we have descended to the bottom of the Jordan and into the deeps of our soul. Now we can enter into the holy drama of this morning's gospel. It is the divine drama of unfolding in our own soul. As the Canaanite woman, we may come into the presence of the new Adam, the Lord Jesus, Son of David, and for the first time, to the feet of the Tree of Life. Let us attend very closely now to the dialogue that transpires. I believe it may give the key that unlocks the door to the tomb of our heart, where we come into the Lord's tomb and into the entrance of our cleansing, our healing, our restoration, and our rebirth as children of God. Lord, Son of David, she cries. Lord, Son of David, this is a Christological title. She knows him intuitively as her true Adam. But Adam is the king of creation. And if she is Eve, that means that she is the queen of creation. This may be important, for we will see that she makes no claim to such a dignity. It says, however, that the Lord answered her not a word. All right, let's look ahead now to the parable of the prodigal son, which has so many parallels with this morning's gospel. You remember that the father does not come to his son. He does not come to his son. He is silent toward him, while the son is in the pig pen feeling sorry for himself. It is not until the prodigal comes to himself and sees that he has made himself altogether unworthy to lay any claim to his dignity as his father's son, that it would be a grace if the father were just to receive him back as a hired servant. In other words, he comes to himself only as he lays down every trace of entitlement and self-righteousness, and only then does the father come rushing out to meet him, to embrace him as his son who was lost but now is found. That is, the son does not come to himself until he gets beneath every mask, every conceit, to his true self. This is when the father finds him and comes out to meet him. So following the parable of the prodigal, when the Lord answers her not a word, I don't know that he is ignoring her at all. I would say that he is looking for her, just as he did in the garden when he cried, "Adam, Eve, where are you?" His silence draws her down to the stillness at the bottom of her soul, as into the depths of the Jordan, down beneath all of her masks, beneath every self-righteousness and entitlement that may remain, down to her true self, where the Lord can see her, not a mask, but her, and draw her to himself. But there's more. He is bearing her down to the depths where he is, the better and changeless path, in his extreme humility. For is he not the Son of God, who though he was in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet emptied himself, and took on the form of a servant, and was obedient, was humble, all the way down to the point of an unclean death on the cross? He who had every reason to be as though he were God, because he is God, became as though he were not God. If he could just bring this woman, the human soul, down to where he is, in the tomb of her heart, then he could make her one with himself. And so he answers her not a word. Or rather, should we say, he answers her as he did the prophet Elijah. He answers her in stillness. And by the way, do the disciples here not look just like the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal? Now we have come to the critical moment. When the Savior finally does speak to her, might this be that mystical moment when he has found her beneath all of her masks? Does he not say to her, in effect, going back to the moment that Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, does he not say in effect to her, "You are not as though you were one of us. You are not entitled to eat at our table, the altar of the Holy Trinity." I see the Lord's word. Sounds like a rebuke, but I don't think it's a rebuke. His word is the antidote that would heal the woman's expulsion from the garden, if she would receive it. And what is her answer? Is it not in effect, "Yes, Lord, I am not as though I were one of you. You made me as the queen of creation, but I have made myself as though I were a dog. I am not entitled to eat at your table. I ask only for a scrap." Can you hear the prodigals? "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I am no longer entitled to be your son. Receive me as one of your hired servants." The church is calling us to the Lord's table, but it is in his tomb. And this is the way to his tomb. To walk the path of the Lord's humility to the bottom of our soul, to our true self, beneath all self-pity, entitlement, self-righteousness. For here, in our true self, this is where we can become one with God. Not in our masks, but in our true self. And so the command to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, is given to us to make us able to become one with the Lord in his humility and love. I think it's the humility of the Canaanite woman's contrition that is the character of her great faith that so attracted the Lord to her. The contrition of humility is the Lenten cross that we are getting ready to take up. Through the contrition of humility, we are made able to enter the Lord's tomb and to receive God and become not as though we were God, but actually to become one with God in his humility and in his love. Amen. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.